formal meditation periods. Before we start to do anything, engage with the practice in any conscious, deliberate way, it's always helpful for us to consider, how does it feel in this moment? How is the body? Heavy, light, warm, cool, comfortable, uncomfortable? There's no right or wrong starting place, but it's helpful, important to acknowledge, to notice where we're starting from. What's the material that we're working with? So too, the mind state, the mood that we have. Are we feeling peaceful? Are we feeling rushed? Sleepy? Energetic? How does it feel? Again, there's no right or wrong mood to begin with. We start from where we are, as the saying goes. But it's always helpful to notice where that place is. Let us take a moment to acknowledge, to explore. How's the body? How is the mood right now? Noticing how the body is, then we can consciously guide it towards a quality of posture that is both energetic, encouraging alertness, brightness of mind, and also relaxation, inviting the body to be at ease, to settle, free from tension. So we bring attention to the spine, to our backbone, and invite the body to sit in a way that is attentive, inviting the spine to stretch, to lengthen, to its full, comfortable limit. So the body is upright, energized, but not stressed, or tense. And feeling the spine as the central axis of our physical world. And let the rest of the body relax fully and completely around that. Letting the muscles of the face and the neck, shoulders, the abdomen, our legs and our feet, letting them be fully at ease. Free from tightness. Inviting the body to rest comfortably upon the earth. In the medium of the body, we establish this natural balance between energy and relaxation. Just like in a tree, there needs to be the firmness of the trunk holding the tree upright, but also the flexibility for the tree to bend in the wind. Those two work together in a natural, easy, balanced way. But the way of nature is also for things to fall out of balance. The mind drifts towards sleepiness, becomes dull and heavy. The body slumps, droops over. Or it drifts in the other direction. The mind becomes agitated, busy. The body tense, stressed. So to help notice that drift, either towards dullness and sleepiness or busyness and agitation, we take a simple object to be a reference point, to help the mind to be aware of that drifting. And bring your feeling then to the quality of the breath. Your sense of feeling, sensation. Let that pattern of feeling be at the center of your attention. So we use the natural rhythm of the breathing as that kind of reference point, that marker against which to notice the drifting into busyness, the drifting into dullness. Whether you feel the breath most easily in your chest, in your nose, on your lip, in your throat, your belly, wherever it might be, simply bring the attention to the area where the breath is most easily recognized, and invite the attention to rest upon that rhythm, that pattern of feeling. for this period of time, just to consciously let the breath be the very center of your world. For a time, we can lay aside all the other concerns, issues, plans, memories. Consciously put them to one side. And use the breath as a way to anchor our attention here in this present reality. The attitude of radical acceptance is essential in terms of how we deal with distraction. We hear a sound. The mind reacts. Starts creating a story about the sound of the motor in a heating fan, the sound of my voice, a memory gets launched, swells into being, starts taking shape. This is distraction. So when we notice the attention has been caught by a different object, and that's the point, to establish the attitude of non-contention, not fighting against the sound or the thought, the feeling, but to work with it. As soon as you notice that distraction, the attention caught by another object, notice that. Notice the feeling of entanglement, the mind grabbing a mood or an idea, a sound. Notice the feeling of grasping, and consciously let go. Release whatever the attention has latched onto, has grasped. Let the attention come back to the present reality once again. Feeling the breath, the presence of the body, And then with the attention coming back to this present reality, notice how that feels, the experience of non-grasping, not being caught up, not being entangled. How does this feel? In essence, it's not important exactly how many times the attention drifts away from the present moment. This is more of an exercise in learning how to work with distraction than in forcing the mind to behave according to our will. In this way, meditation is more about learning how to fail. To fail in the most perfect and complete way, and to notice that. To notice as if we're playing a musical instrument, to notice when we've hit the wrong note, when we've lost the rhythm. To notice that, and then to use our faculties of mindfulness and wisdom to attune, to get back on pitch. To make the correct notes. So we fail, we lose it, we notice what that feels like, that quality of discord, discontent, tension, and we respond by letting go. If the mind has become dull and sleepy, then we let go of that dull and numb, sleepy mind state. Let the body straighten up, bring more energy into the system. If the mind is caught up with busy thinking and planning, recollecting, then we let go and bring the mind to a greater quality of calmness, relaxing, emphasizing the quality of ease, relaxation. Inviting things to settle down. In this way, we're working with the nature of the mind, getting familiar with its habits, and using the appropriate tools, the means that we have to help to come to a quality of balance, the attention resting in the present moment, alert, fully relaxed. There's both energy, virya, and tranquility, pasadi, concentration, samadhi. Hearing these instructions, putting them into action, there's a lot of doing. Many of us have heard these kind of words hundreds, thousands of times before. Many of us have given these kind of instructions, various retreats or classes, many, many times over. But sometimes in the very effort to do, to be trying to get concentrated, to conquer our dullness, to get rid of our distracted thinking, to get concentrated, those efforts so easily get wrapped up with the desire to become bhava-tanha, me getting concentrated, me developing my practice. Vibhava-tanha, the desire to get rid of, me getting rid of my dullness, getting rid of my memories and planning, my chattering thoughts. This can be referred to practicing based on self-view. I need to become, I want to get, I need to get rid of. Unconsciously basing our sincere and noble efforts on I and me and mine. So as long as it's me trying to do something now to become enlightened in the future, me who's got this problem with distracted thinking, who's trying to get rid of it, so there'll be me without distracted thinking, me without anxiety, me who's got concentration, me who's got some insight, a very I and me and mine is constantly obstructing the very sincere efforts that we're making. So practicing based on self-view, on ignorance, is always going to end up with more discontent, more dukkha, more dis-ease. No matter how hard we try, it's like driving very carefully down the wrong road. Though in contrast, it's not a matter of not doing, or trying to not do anything, or not practice, or not be something. Then you just get me not practicing, me trying to be no thing. It's not the focusing the attention on the breath, or the feeling of the footsteps. It's not a matter of something being wrong with paying attention to the posture, but rather the obstruction is in the conceiving of I and me and mine. The Buddha called the I-making ahankara, mind-making mamankara. These are the troublemakers. This is what causes the disharmony, obstruction in the system. When we consider the Buddha's teachings on right effort, samavayamo, there's still a lot of doing going on. Restraining the unwholesome from arising. Setting the intention to not dwell on distracted thought. Setting the intention to use loving kindness. Setting the intention to sit still, to relax. Restraining the unwholesome from arising. Sanvara. Or if the unwholesome has arisen, If there's an angry thought, resentment of a pain in the knee, the mind filled with busy thinking, chattering. If the unwholesome has already arisen, then pahana, we let go. These are the first two factors of right effort. And the third is bhavana, development, the conscious cultivation of the wholesome, bringing attention to the present moment. Cultivating loving kindness. Consciously arousing the quality of wisdom, wise reflection, investigation, bhavana, development. And then the last is anurakana, to protect or to cherish. Whatever wholesome qualities have arisen, concentration, insight, the attitude of loving kindness, brightness, we protect them, we cherish them. There's a holding and nurturing, anurakana. So samavayamo, right effort, attuned, or perfect effort, there's a lot of doing. Restraining, letting go, cultivating, maintaining. But the difference between that and me trying to get concentrated, me trying to get rid of my distracted thoughts, me trying to get rid of my anger and laziness, is that attuned effort, samavayamo, is free of the sense of self. So you can call it practice based on right view rather than self view. So there's doing, there's attending to the present, there's guiding, there's working with the body, the mind, in the present moment. But working with those qualities, free from the sense of self. And what guides the action, what guides the work that's being done, is mindfulness and wisdom, satipanya. That's the engine of skillful change, where the work of the practice, of bhavana, of that development, comes from. It's driven by mindfulness conjoined with wisdom. So then if the practice is based on right view, on attuned, skillful view, then the result is peacefulness, clarity. There's no longer me doing my practice, but the practice is being done. What the teacher Kema Ananda used to call diligent effortlessness. Energy is being applied, but we're not creating a me who's efforting, who's struggling. Or a Tibetan Lama friend, Tsokni Rinpoche, uses the term undistracted non-meditation. The mind attending to the present, doing the work of awareness, but without there being a me who's doing something, trying to get somewhere. If we can get a sense for this, the contrast between practice based on self-view and practice based on right view, this makes a world of difference to the way that we work and the results that come from that.